and Yurko.
Hello there.
Weekdays, noon to 2, on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Listen to that. Great song. Listen to that guitar. That's how you play guitar. Thank you to our guest today, Emily Kaplan, talking about the return of the NHL.
Yes, she did.
And thank you to Mark Schlereth. Had some fun with Stink.
Had
NFL.
Real, a lot of fun. Did you hear our
internet videos?
Alaska?
Yeah.
Talked a lot about Alaska to him. He said the Northern Lights you have to go up for. He grew up in Alaska.
Growing up in Alaska.
Yeah, Northern Lights.
Him and Trajan Langdon, right?
Trajan Langdon, sure.
What was Boozer's title, Alaska? Didn't Carlos Boozer
also?
He runs a camp in Alaska,
well,
doesn't he?
Carlos is from Alaska too.
Is he from Alaska?
I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, I thought he was from Anchorage.
So did I, but like I wasn't. You know,
were you guys here the year they sent Hood up to the Great Alaskan Shootout?
Yes,
I recall.
At Fairbanks, right? Yeah. Oh yeah.
You want to talk about a miserable, miserable young man?
Yeah. No,
I believe
that was one of Hoodie's best vacations of his life. I believe
December. In Anchorage, when you got about 4 hours of daylight. Good luck.
And my buddy Max works in the computer industry with education systems. He had to go inside the Arctic Circle. He goes, your plane lands on Main Street. That's the airport. It lands on Main Street.
It was like a diner.
And it goes to the end of Main Street and it parks over there. That's where you land.
Can you imagine?
Is it better to be in Alaska with only 4 hours of daylight or the reverse when you only have like... isn't there a time when there's like...
Well, in the summer, there's almost no nighttime.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. So what's
like right
the better
now,
time to
right
be there?
Right now. I couldn't live if there was 4 hours of daylight. Can
right
you imagine?
Now.
There's
right
no
now
way.
Right now, the sun doesn't go down. My sister lives in Norway, as I've said a thousand times, and she will send me pictures of like, hey, 3 a.m., and it's the sun's... It's like dusk.
Basically,
it gets to
at
dusk.
Like this point, for another week or two maybe, like the sun is still a little bit of dusk out on the horizon. Yeah, like, because they can see the top of it almost. But then in the winter, it'd be miserable.
What's
thanks to our producers, Tyler Aki, Eric Ostrowski, job well done today. Appreciate it. Meller and Abdallah in for Waddle and Sylvie. What's what movie?
There's a movie with...
Insomnia, right?
Yeah.
Oh, Robin Williams.
Robin Williams.
And Al Pacino.
Where they're up there. Yeah. He goes nuts.
Well, I think a lot of people... Stink was saying that. Depression's high. If you had to live there late in life or move there for work or something, you had to spend a winter there.
I asked him two questions. Is he ever gold mined? Any mining of the gold up there? And he goes, no. He goes, he panned for a little bit, you know, at a public place where you could do that. I said, you ever been on the Cornelia Marie or the Northwestern, you know? So what Alaska's known for, is it not?
Crab fishing.
Crabs.
You know? Get crabs.
You get crabs,
Alaska.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You don't want to go out on those boats.
You can start a new life in Alaska.
See that
a lot
video?
Of shows
too
where they go
cold.
Start new lives.
That's
well,
true.
Yeah.
You have to. You're getting away. Two places you go to get away in the United States, Alaska and Florida.
Mm-hmm.
You got more people on the run in Florida from in the Northeast from any types of trouble. They
you
got a warrant out for them.
Sure.
Go down to Florida.
It's warm. You know, that's what I would do. Yeah.
Open up a bait and tackle shop.
Sure, why not?
You can do that. Open up a kiosk on the beach where you rent skidoos.
How about this for a transition? Why is Jesse calling me? Do you want me to answer this?
Yeah, answer it on the air.
Live.
Jesse, you're on the air. I'm on the air. What do you want?
Is there another Cubs starting pitcher that's...
cut his finger?
Yeah.
Yeah, we want their Theo talk. We want the audio.
The
people need to hear
stuff.
It.
Yes.
All these Zoom conferences.
Calm down. I even heard that.
Oh, yeah, we heard it.
Calm down. I'm Jesse Rogers. Maybe, you know, you forgot who I am.
Hold the phone close
he
to
wants
the
to know how. He wants to know how to archive archived Zooms. So
archive
if anyone knows how to find an archived Zoom.
Dude, we're
on his computer?
Just tweet. Click on the old link and send it to us.
There's a YouTube for everything, man. I mean, we're 3 months into the quarantine. You'd think he'd have Zoom figured out by this point.
Oh, it says it's acting like it's a Zoom meeting. If someone knows, you could tweet at Jesse Rogers. What's your Twitter? Yes, I'm literally on the air. What do you think this is?
You called me
while we're on the air. I'm on the air. We're talking to you. We're
Jesse.
Figuring out Zoom together with the people. We're listening. This is a segment.
This is a segment.
There really is a YouTube
talk to
channel
me on the
forever.
Phone. Talk to me.
Forget it.
Like a tutorial for anything you need.
I went
like,
to your channel to learn how to
Google
cook
it.
Steak.
Yeah, there you go.
I'm like always disappointed if it's like you can get as specific as you want, and there's generally a YouTube tutorial on how to do it.
You know what I've been searching a lot? I don't want to get us too far off track.
The 370 best porn stars?
No.
No. 370 best ones?
Well, there's a list that's going around Twitter
that
a caller made us aware of yesterday.
Females?
Females, yes.
My latest obsession is an outdoor wood-fired pizza oven.
Mm.
And so I've been doing a lot of, and
research.
I've been doing
for,
a lot of research. Now, when I tell you there's everything on YouTube, there have to be 40 videos that I've watched, like DIY, you know, do it yourself. The problem is, I watch all of them, and I don't think I'm handy enough.
Oh, yeah.
These are really handy guys.
To make an outdoor brick oven, I mean, bricks?
Well, of course, and then you need, like, ceramic for the bottom. And they. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, there's all these videos. So I kind of cycle through a lot of those, and I go, who am I kidding?
No.
I don't have the trades and
ceramic
the skill to do it.
I mean, if I had ceramic tiles on the ground, do you utilize that?
Yes.
A lot of the DIY tutorials, if they give you, if you're lucky if you can complete what they're showing you in double the time that they tell you. They'll tell you an hour. You're lucky if you can knock it out in two.
Then I thought about, well, do I call my buddy Kurt Woods, who is handy? He's a master carpenter.
Oh. Woodsy, yeah.
Woods working.
Of course.
Him and Tiger.
Do I call? That's the famous.
Kurt Woods? Woods working?
Woods working. That's his name for his company.
That's amazing.
Yeah. Well, he was the one in Vegas in the elevator with Tiger.
That's a double
entendre. Got on the elevator and said, Tiger, Kurt Woods.
That's awesome.
Shook his hand and Tiger laughed.
That's awesome.
Yes, this is like in 2003 when we were in Vegas and Tiger used to do his.
Ask how little Tiger was?
Before COVID, yeah.
Before COVID, when
you could shake someone's hand.
Tiger used to do a big charity event with Prince, Memorial Day weekend. This is how long ago this was. And that's where we bumped into Tiger. Anyway, so then I thought, well, maybe I'll show Kurt the plans and have him build it. Because when you look online for it, they're expensive. Like the most inexpensive ones you're going to buy are like $3,000. And I'm like, do I really want to spend $3,000?
Then I start watching
videos about like the kind of carrot needs and how to build the fire and the tools you need. And I'm like, man, am I biting off more than I can chew? But the idea of having a wood-fired pizza dome in my backyard has... like it sends a warm tingling sensation throughout my body, guys.
You know, Jimmy Kimmel has one in his kitchen.
Yes.
Well, like, that's because he's a billionaire.
Well, I'm just saying.
He's worth $200 million.
Listen, if you move to your own late night show some point, Carm, you might have yourself your own wood-burning oven.
So one day when you guys come over, I might have the pizza oven in the backyard. We'll see. And I'll be making homemade pizza.
To officially complete the stereotype?
Yeah. Well, you know what? I don't know why it's got to go there. I mean,
There's a great video.
What if I found you in Italian, going around Instagram?
I would be surprised.
They have to be college kids sitting around a fire, and two drunk guys are arguing about red sauce versus pesto sauce. And it's legit too. It's not, and they're in Jersey, and they're like, I could make a red sauce. It's not that impressive.
That's awesome. Well, making a pesto is harder than making a red sauce. I would agree
with that. Somebody uses clam juice. I saw a guy make a marinara use a little clam juice.
Really?
Oh, yeah. I saw it. Out of Chicago Heights, this guy.
I never seen
legitimate
that
Italian guy making his own gravy.
That's
with
funny.
A little bit of clam juice in there.
Gents, as if it weren't already bad enough for Cub fans like that want to go back and say, boy, the Quintana deal, just it's been bad. It hasn't worked out. I mean, like this, what a way to cap it. I mean, in a weird season anyway where he was maybe only going to pitch 10 times, in his walk year. Now he might pitch 5 times, guys.
Thanks, Cubs!
Yeah, no, there's no doubt about it. And at this point, you have to... I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility that he has thrown his last pitch for the Cubs. If in a 60-game season, like a lot of times when you get the initial timeline, especially for pitchers, you're going to have... Don't be surprised. Add 2-3 weeks minimum to whatever timeline they want him to get back out on the mound officially.
So he might not even be throwing a pitch, let's say, for 3 weeks.
That's in the realm of possibility.
Yeah.
And then when you get to the point where you shrug your shoulders and hope they can complete this season, but there's no, like, Buster only, obviously, not on board with them completing a season. I think it's in the realm of possibility that he has thrown his last pitch for the Cubs.
I guess when you think about the season not finishing, that's very, very true. Abdallah's over there shaking his head.
It's crazy. And you can't be mad at him. He was washing dishes, supposedly. Mm-hmm.
Who are you more mad at? Like York said, Theo or Jose? Like for just the whole, for everything, the way it happened. Like, oh, is it Jose Quintana's fault?
Ricketts. I'm mad at Tom Ricketts for not opening up the pocketbook. Open it up. You're the Cubs. Spend more. Don't tell me, we got the third highest payroll. I don't care. You're the Cubs. Spend more. How about that? You're going to sell your, the rooftops? Yeah, get me another reliever. Sell your rooftop tickets and get me another reliever.
You know, I initially, when he said that, kind of dismissed it out of hand. But it's interesting that he says that because part of the appeal for the Cubs to go ahead and trade Eloy and Dylan Cease for Jimenez Quintana was the fact that Quintana was cost controlled.
Right.
That was the allure for Theo. is that they had a guy who was, you know, who at the time they viewed as like a potential number two starter on their roster at the cost control numbers that,
that
he
was
at.
Key, yeah.
And that's why they were more than willing to make the deal. But if you think about it in the terms that Abdallah just presented, if Theo wasn't so worried about cost, would he have maybe been, you know, in search of somebody who was a higher strikeout pitcher, who was more of dominant pitcher?
Would they have looked at Verlander? Would they have been more aggressive in the free agent market? Maybe, although they did sign Darvish to a big deal. I mean, let's face it, they did. They spent money on Darvish. That hasn't worked out either.
You can't pay three pitchers?
There's your strikeout pitcher.
I would say you're getting Hendricks at a discount. I know he's making decent money, but he's probably getting less than he's valued. You've got your high-priced pitchers. One of them is old and has 1 year left on his deal after this year in John Lester. And you've got you, Darvish, who had a great second half last year. He only walked, I think it's like seven guys in after July 12th or something like that.
Yeah, it was
something
ridiculous.
Crazy.
Which one of his seven victories do you love the best?
Here he goes.
So I'm asking, which one of his seven
wins
victories do you love the best?
Wins is the worst stat I understand. In the world.
Carmen says it all the time.
All the time.
Carmen says it all the time. Wins are the worst stat in the world, but yet you need those wins, right? You need those wins if you plan on going to the playoffs, well, Alice.
But the team,
but as far
win,
as
though,
yeah,
not,
as far as pitching goes, as rating a pitcher, I'm not going to use wins.
No,
you can't tell me that Yu Darvish didn't have a great second half.
This is what he does do: strikeouts per nine. Strikeouts
Darvish?
Per nine innings. Sure. Yu Darvish is one of
the
tops.
He's still
in
a strikeout
game.
Pitcher,
guys. I said he was one of the tops in the game. I'm giving Yu Darvish credit here. Will you let me please give Yu Darvish credit? I'm giving the kid credit.
Like Mel said, you want velocity. You want strikeout guys.
Yeah, I understand.
Changing.
Like,
go ahead and look him up.
I'm
look
pulling
at the
up the list.
Give me the bit. Give me the foo bar.
First and second half.
The,
so
foo bar.
Whatever it is, you guys want to make up. Whatever the stats guys you want to make up.
In the second half, he had a 2.76 ERA and 13 starts. I mean, that's pretty dominant with a WHIP a point. 8.0 WHIP.
Oh my God!
I mean,
0.9.
That's amongst the best starters in baseball at this point.
That's ridiculous. That's because he wasn't walking anybody.
And you have to wonder, you know, he was coming back in the first half still from, you know, the injury that, you know, completely derailed his first season for the Cubs. So I think it's not out of the realm of possibility that the second half is the Yu Darvish, something closer to that second half. I think that's on the table.
Okay.
He could be a legit ace for you.
On the table. I'd like to know right now, what's the Cy Young? They're going to hand out the award. Where's Yu Darvish for the Cy Young? I think you can get him at better odds than what you're telling me he is actually pitcher. So whatever he is, I'd be wagering on Yu Darvish as a Cy Young.
I think that's probably a decent
second half numbers.
If Abdallah
he's probably
can pull
25
up some,
to 1, I'm guessing. Right?
I saw 37 gambling sites just come
that's
out.
What I'm saying. He's,
instantaneously.
He'll look for the best price
he's
for you.
He's got them all paged next to each other trying to find the next
The
price.
Only problem is in a 60-game season, it's all up for grabs. It's
well,
not, you know
listen,
what I mean?
You just pointed out the second half was pretty impressive.
No,
that
I think
the second half was only 80 games.
Depending on
this guy might just be a half-a-year pitcher.
Depending on the odds you get, that might
I'm guessing 25-1 in that range.
That's a pretty good price.
But you have to wonder if the Cubs' inflation will be there so that you're not going to get the great odds. You never know.
I mean, like Chris
Bryant. Inflation or the conflation?
You know, Chris Bryant's 22-1 to win MVP.
That's something I would actually consider.
My guess is Darvish is somewhere around 25 or 30.
He's not on this one. I'm looking at this one.
He's not even on it. Look.
He's not on this.
Guys, the odds are so high.
Is he in the other category?
He's in the other category, yeah. All right. What's up on the show today, boys? We're out of here.
Well, we're going to. You were yelling about Boylan again. Right. We did that yesterday.
Yeah,
we got yelling about Boylan.
And I know I
yesterday.
Got hot and bothered. I'm not buying that they won't pay two coaches. I'm not.
He's not buying.
History shows us that the Bulls. They have for 20 years.
You've got an owner that's going to have two empty ballparks for maybe two seasons.
Greenberg made the point, and that maybe changes things a little. Greenberg made the point that the last coach they didn't have to pay off was Phil. It's 20 years ago. You know, they fired everybody and they've had to pay.
Ooh,
so
no,
we're going to talk baseball, Rob Manfred, and how he was just messing with the players this whole time because they knew that they were just going to do 60 games regardless.
Probably.
We're also going to talk about the dumbest thing. Have you seen what's going on in Tuscaloosa? I love Alabama. Roll Tide. I love Alabama. Roll Tide. What's the dumbest thing
you did in your youth
when you were that age?
That's a good
Probably
question.
Some good stuff. I need a winner from you, Yurko. You've promised me a NASCAR winner.
My pick. I've hit the last two races.
Well, who you
gotta,
do you have? That?
You got to stay tuned for the odds couple
right,
tomorrow.
I got a Ford guy winning this week.
I also have a Ford guy.
I've got a Ford
guy. Two Ford guys. Okay. Yeah. Well, the odds couple's on at 7 o'clock.
7 to 8 tomorrow.
Yeah. I'm going to go with Brad Keselowski. I'll give it to you now because I won't be on the odds couple. They banished me.
My last two weeks, I have correctly predicted the NASCAR winner of the Cup Series event, and they both paid 8 to 1.
And both of you guys, did you see Tottenham get embarrassed by Sheffield United?
We did.
Sheffield United's pretty damn good team also.
Man City to
listen. That well, special one's not so special anymore. Jose Mourinho has lost any and all credibility.
Yeah, he's the game has passed him by.
It's passed him by.
Yu Darvish plus 750 on Odd Shark. He actually has
so he's 75 to 1. I was
wondering. No.
7.5 to 1.
7.5 to 1.
That's it.
Oh, yes. Plus 750. Yeah,
he's the fifth best odds in the National League.
15 to 2.
I'm shocked at that. Actually,
He had a great second half. And
all right, boys, not a big enough payoff for me.
So. All right, guys. Have a good weekend, all right?
Everybody have a great 4th of July. Yeah.
Enjoy the holiday, gents.
So Meller and Abdallah are in for Waddle and Sylvie. They'll keep you company next. Everybody have a safe 4th of July.
Waddle and Sylvie.
Podcasts are ready on the all-new ESPN Chicago app.
ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports.
Meller and Abdallah in for Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app. You can watch us on Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN1000Chicago.
You can watch us on Twitch as we host a show and we try to focus as Liverpool and Man City take each other on.
This game doesn't matter. The season's over. You won your Asterix trophy.
Listen, it matters to all the Liverpool supporters out there who wants the Reds to break every record that Man City set 2 years ago.
You had three. You had
greatest
100 days
Premier
off.
League team ever.
No, it doesn't
We're
matter.
We're in roots, and this is just completed.
Asterisks.
Okay, asterisk. I subscribe to the Giannis, not an asterisk, a star, a star by this special season.
Yeah, well, he's not going to win it anyway. So, anyway.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, you go into the cap when you got nothing to say. Anyway.
No, I just think it doesn't matter. Look, the season's over. Liverpool has won the league. It's done. The points total. That doesn't matter. What could does that do?
Greatest Premier League team ever.
Are you going to get a shirt that says that afterwards?
Maybe. Greatest Premier League team ever. I'll commission
greatest
one with...
Greatest Premier League ever in a pandemic
with
season.
Obvious shirts. I'll commission them to go ahead and make a greatest Premier League team ever.
Big red asterisk on it right there.
You know what? I'll have one of those made for you.
That's fine. The Cubs will probably want an asterisk on this season. I try to do the good segues on this show.
I'll give that one a 6.
Okay.
I won't tell you what.
10? 6
well,
out of 7?
Out of 20, but okay.
6 out of 7? Okay. Okay.
Out
6
of
out of 7.
6 out of 20.
The Cubs provided the following update today on left-handed pitcher Jose Quintana, key being that left hand. Last Saturday, while washing dishes at his home in Miami, Quintana suffered a laceration on his left thumb that required 5 stitches. This morning in Chicago, Quintana underwent microscopic surgery on his left thumb to further determine the extent of the injury. The procedure identified a lacerated digital sensory nerve in his left thumb, which is probably important for pitching, which was surgically repaired. Quintana is expected to resume his throwing program in approximately 2 weeks, after which time a further determination will be made on expected length of absence. So he's not going to pick up a baseball for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And then he's going to start a throwing program, which could be 2 weeks, 2 more weeks, 3 weeks. You said it in crosstalk when we were talking to Carmen Yurko. Quintana may have thrown his last pitch for the Cubs already. This season may be a wash. It's his last season of his deal. And the Jose Quintana era could be it.
It's look, and I know the Cubs won't come out and say this, but I just think if you think about it logically, it's not out of the realm of possibilities. I'm not saying that it's likely that he's thrown his last pitch. I'm just saying that based on this injury now, the fact that you have a 60-game season, it is now, I think, within the realm of possibility because he is going to have the surgery, so that's going to set him back. Whenever you're talking about a pitcher who has yet to begin their season, you know, it's problematic to just go ahead and assume that he'll be back. You know, there'll be some time to ramp up. And I even heard Carmen Yurk talking about it as the news was breaking initially here earlier today with it being his left hand and thumb like the grip of his pitches is going to be affected. And so, you know, you really don't know what you're dealing with until he gets out there and starts throwing again. And then he'll have, you know, have to ramp it up. And because we're dealing in a shortened season, I think it is possible with all the other aspects that are coming into this, you know, if for whatever reason the league starts up, you know, they go 20 games. And as Buster has been, you know, saying quite adamantly over the last, you know, couple of days that he's not completely positive that he's not confident that this season will be finished at all. So if you factor all of that in, it is certainly possible that Q will have thrown his last pitch for the Cubs.
Well, I mean,
it's like it's much
if,
more.
If you're looking at it from the way Buster's perspective is that it 5% chance that they start the season, right?
Mm-hmm.
The John Heyman tweeted earlier today that the COVID tests are all done and that the results should be available tomorrow. We'll see how many players are coming back and testing positive for COVID. They expect, you know, probably around 10%, I would say. That's still a lot of people, but ultimately, it's not enough to stop the season from happening,
but,
right?
Yeah, but this is, these tests aren't really, like, you need them, obviously. It can't be so, you couldn't have a positivity rate above 50% and then just say we're going to go forward. I think most people who have been following any coronavirus updates, you know, you didn't expect there to be 50% positivity rate.
No.
The truth is that all these positive tests that come in now, all the, you know, you, like you said, it was to be expected that you would have, you know, a portion of the population testing positive. That's all fine. They're not the problems, you know, these initial positive tests. The problem is once you get in season, you know, avoiding any potential outbreak. That's where, so even though we did have to monitor these positive tests, you know, the bigger issue is once you get in season or into the summer camp aspect and then having, you know, positive tests, that's where things will get tricky. Trying to complete a season, you know, avoiding potential outbreaks and spreads.
Well, what I'm trying to say is that if the season doesn't start on time or doesn't finish or they can't complete it, what do they do as far as service time goes? Or have we just decided to give everybody service time?
I think
if you're reporting and
the March agreement says
service time. So Quintana might be done. Theo Epstein met the media earlier today, and he said it certainly challenges our depth in an area where we had concerns about already. You look at the Cubs pitching staff, you have John Lester, obviously, you have Yu Darvish, you have Kyle Hendricks, and you had Jose Quintana, and who knows now how long Jose Quintana is going to be out. They were already looking to maybe, you know, extend a reliever and make him a fifth starter or figure out something to do with, or maybe go to a four-man rotation.
The one thing, look, I'll say this. Now, it's not disastrous if you can actually play this season because in this shortened format, I do think that the position or, I guess, the spot on the roster that actually maybe benefits the most from a 60-game season is your bullpen, your relief pitching. Because there's only going to be 60 games, so there's only going to be 60 appearances. Oftentimes, what you'll hear from relief pitchers is, and they've gotten better with this over, you know, over the last 10 years, but like one of the biggest issues for relievers is not so much the innings, the number of innings they make, it's the appearances and the additional times that they have to get up and throw in the bullpen to get ready. Well, in a shortened season, you can probably lean more heavily on your relief pitchers than you would in a normal season. And so because of this, I think the Cubs will have an opportunity to maybe lean on someone like Alec Mills. Like he'll be able to come out and throw 2 to 3 innings, you know, every fourth or fifth day and almost be able to be a piggyback starter. And with the opportunity to use a 60-man, you know, taxi squad at your disposal, you can actually, I think, weather the storm that is, you know, a starting pitching injury better than you normally would. So I think that's the one positive. If you're a Cubs fan, you can probably look at this and say, you know what, you're not going to need to rely on your starting pitching to provide as many innings as they would in a normal season.
And I think that, you know, the Cubs staff was already thin, as Theo said, with especially, you know, in the bullpen, and you only have 3 starters that you can really count on now. And I think that, you know, John Lester, you assume he's going to be able to go out there and give you solid outings, but he is getting up there in age. Everybody knows Kyle Hendricks is going to be good. And Yu Darvish, if he continues on the trend that he was, he's one of the favorites to win the Cy Young this year. If he continues on that trend of what he had at the second half of last season after middle of July, you expect him to be on there. And that's why I thought the Cubs were better set up for this than most teams because of that solid pitching staff, because you knew you had at least three guys that you could count on to give you a quality start when they took the mound. And that's going to be so imperative in a 60-game stretch that you need this. You need those guys to be able to go long into games if you have them. You don't know how long these guys, you know, we had Lucas Giolito on Waddle and Sylvie earlier this week. He said he's up to 3 innings. Could that be up to 5 innings by the time the season starts? 6 innings? You'll have to see, but you're going to have to rely on your bullpen even more now, which isn't a strength of the Cubs.
But again, like I said, I do think this is one of those, like, it's not good. You certainly don't want to lose a starting pitcher.
It's not great, Bob.
But in this shortened season, I think you can lean more heavily on your bullpen. And somebody like Dwayne Underwood, who has had, you know, a cup of coffee here and there for the Cubs, you know, if he's only needed for 2 to 3 inning stretches, he might be a player you could actually look to use more. Mm-hmm. Maybe Ian Happ's good friend, Dakota Mekis, who road tripped back with him, has an opportunity to come out. Again, if you're a pitcher and you're only going to need to go out and throw 2 to 3 innings, Dylan Maples, somebody like that, they might actually excel in a shortened season where they're not going to actually be asked to, you know, do normal starters work, but just come in and go through nine batters. And because of the taxi squad, the Cubs might actually be okay.
Yeah, they could be.
I'm just saying.
The problem is they're in a very competitive division with the Brewers and the Cardinals, so it remains to be seen. If you want to talk Cubs, 312-332-3776. Did Rob Manfred just seal the grievance for the players? We'll talk about that next.
Waddle and Sylvie, weekdays 2 to 6.
Follow on Twitter at Waddle and Sylvie and at TWaddle87. ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
So when sports were delayed, we go back to March 13th, Friday the 13th, as NCAA tournaments were starting to be canceled and the regional tournaments were all being canceled and everything, one after, like, the dominoes started falling. Spring training was then moved. Then you started to get into the labor agreement between a disagreement between the baseball players and the owners, and the players said, we want to play 162 games, and the owners were like, we can't play that many, and then the players said, well, how about like 120, and the owner said, well, how about 60, and then we went back and forth and back and forth and back and forth and back and forth, right?
It's real quick, though. It stems from, remember, when all that happened on March 28th, the players and the owners came to an agreement.
Yes.
And in that agreement, there was a clause about good faith, mm-hmm, and an effort to play as many games as possible. Mm-hmm. And that is kind of where things get a little dicey for Rob Manfred.
Well, so then they went to the negotiating table and they said, well, how about we play? And the owner said, how about we play 70 games, but you're not allowed to file any grievances, right? Grievance-free baseball. Grievance-free baseball. And the players were like, no. We don't want that. And then they finally came back and Rob Manfred instituted the 60-game season. We don't have a schedule yet, so we don't even know when it's supposed to start. It's supposed to, rumors are, say, July 23rd?
Yeah, the 23rd/24th. Yeah.
So then everybody agrees, yada, 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 all that good stuff. We can't. We'll just yada, yada, yada through the logistics.
Well, no, there's the one part. When the owners offered the 70 games, they offered 70 games, but if we pay you for 60.
Exactly.
That was like the critical point was that, okay, we'll go to 70, but only if we only have to pay you for what would amount to what we would pay you for 60 games.
And the players said no. So then Manfred instituted the season. You can file a grievance if you want to. You're going to get full prorated pay. It's going to be great. It's going to be awesome, right? And the players are like, fine, we'll do it. When and where, when and where. You said when, you said where, so we're going to do this, but we're probably going to file a grievance because you said that you would, in good faith, you would play as many games as possible. You said that. And the owners were like, oh, okay, guess we'll go to court. And then Rob Manfred appeared on the Dan Patrick Show yesterday and said this.
The reality is, we weren't going to play more than 60 games no matter how the negotiation with the players went or any other factor. 60 games is the outside of the envelope given the realities of the virus. And, you know, I think this is the one thing that we come back to every single day. We're trying to manage something that has proven to be unpredictable and unmanageable. I know it hasn't looked particularly pretty in spots, but having said that, if we can pull off this 60-game season, I think it was the best we were going to do for our fans, given the course of the virus.
Play the beginning apart real quick again. Just hit that beginning.
The reality is, we weren't going to play more than 60 games, no matter how the negotiation with the players went or any other factor.
That's ridiculous. That's ridiculous. You can't say that. If I am the lawyer or whoever's representing the players,
the labor attorney,
and I go into this labor agreement, if I go into this hearing, if I go into this arbitration, whatever they're going to call it, this grievance hearing, all I have to do is hit play on that. You knew all along you were going to play 60 games. So why didn't you just institute a 60-game schedule? We could be playing baseball right now. We could be watching baseball. You and I are watching our two favorite soccer teams battle it out for nothing right now. This game literally means nothing.
Records are at stake.
Records are not at stake. They're garbage records.
Records are at stake.
They're garbage records. And so because of that, we are not watching baseball right now because these guys didn't just implement the 60-game season. Rob Manfred had it in his power to implement a 60-game season whenever he wanted to.
Wow.
After the March 28th agreement. After the March 28th agreement, he could have done it whenever he wanted to. March 29th, he could have been like, you know what? Agreed to? How about this? We're not negotiating. 60 games. We're going to start in June, and it's going to be awesome. And we're going to be back, and it's going to be great. And the only player is going to be watched as you're about to take a penalty kick.
How can I take a penalty kick when I'm hosting a show right now?
If you don't know who Kevin De Bruyne is, do yourself a favor and Google Kevin De Bruyne and Google Jeff Mellor. And I've never seen them in the same place at the same time. This is a goal.
Oh, I just scored a goal.
Congratulations. Goal.
It's a meaningless game.
Good job. Goal. Oh, yeah? It's a meaningless game now, isn't it?
I've been told,
yeah,
I was told that they're playing for nothing.
It's only meaningful when I care about it. So because of that, we could have games right now. You could have had games taking place before the spikes in Florida, before the spikes in Arizona, before the spikes in California, before all these states had to shut down again. You could have been playing baseball. And then if you needed to shut down because of a spike or because of an outbreak, you could have had so many more months to navigate a regular season. Then this, you could have spread 60 games out and had, you're going to try to play 66 games in or 60 games in 66 days. That's insane.
But so from your the way you're laying it out, yes, logistically they could have attempted to do that, but the players were never going to agree to play 60 games if they were going to start up on July 1st. This is where Rob Manfred has really stepped in it by, you know, it is odd that a man who has widely been credited for really doing a good job in terms of setting the ownership up in the previous labor negotiation. It's odd to me that at this point in his career as in the commissionership for Major League Baseball, that he would not realize that he was potentially putting himself on the record in this interview and saying what he said, that based on back of the envelope math, they were never going to play more than 60 games. Now, listen, that's one of those things that you may think in your head and know as the commissioner of baseball.
You can't but say it.
You don't say it on the Dan Patrick show like he did. That is going to be problematic. And unless the owners really get themselves a favorable arbiter, and just by the fact that someone's an arbiter, they should not show any favor.
Mm-hmm.
He may have put themselves at the mercy of the players' union because of that comment. Now
you just play the tapes.
We'll just play the tapes. This is going to be Tony Clark and whoever's representing them in the arbitration. This is exactly what they're going to do. Listen, Mr. Arbiter, or Mrs. Arbiter, we wanted to play as many games as possible. We had an agreement in place in March that said, in good faith, we would attempt to play as many games as possible, and we were set to do it. We said when and where, and we were ready to go in early July. Mm-hmm. And had we done so, we would have been easily able to get 90 games in.
Easily.
But Rob Manfred, the commissioner, said this to Dan Patrick.
The reality is, we weren't going to play more than 60 games, no matter how the negotiation with the players went.
I rest my case, and you can walk out. That's all you got to do. I rest my case.
And that is essentially...
I have no witnesses. I rest my case.
And that is essentially probably what's going to happen.
That's all you need to do. This was supposed to be opening weekend. This weekend, 4th of mm-hmm. July weekend, mm-hmm. America, baseball, apple pie, hot dog eating contest.
Apple pie and baseball.
Yes.
Maybe some fireworks and social distancing.
Yes, as long as you're done, if you're shooting, be careful with the fireworks this weekend, kids. Be careful
with
them.
Don't blow your hand off.
Do not do that.
PSA.
We were supposed to be playing baseball, but instead, we have to wait 3 more weeks or whatever it is, if it's the 23rd. Yeah, that's 3 more weeks. We have to wait 3 more weeks
for
baseball.
What, you know what'll be nice about that? Is in 3 or 4 more weeks, we'll probably have surging coronavirus cases across the country. So that'll be a nice time to just, as Buster only has used the metaphor, just to jump into the hurricane. Just jump out on the boat and let's get out there right in the midst of the pandemic because you chose to wait and say we're only going to play 60 games.
Rob Manfred and the players were shooting Roman candles off at each other for months when all that Rob Manfred needed to do is being like, I know what we're going to do. You don't need to do this anymore. This is stupid. We're only going to play 60 games. He should have instituted it so we could be watching baseball today.
Well,
I
want to
be watching baseball.
Now, look, they couldn't have done that, though. Because if he...
How about this? Butterfly effect. Mm-hmm. Butterfly effect.
Yeah.
If they were playing baseball right now, Jose Quintana's not washing dishes. How about that? And then he's pitching for the Cubs. He's not washing dishes. He doesn't cut his hand. Mm-hmm. He has a productive season for the Cubs. Cubs win the division. Cubs win the World Series. We have another parade here. Look at what Rob Manfred did. He robbed the Cubs of a World Series.
So we're just assuming that if in season, Jose Quintana, no matter what, does not do dishes in season? Is that what we're just assuming now?
I'm assuming
he doesn't wash his dishes in season.
During the season, he uses a because he was in Florida when he did this. He would be here where maybe he uses a dishwasher.
Maybe he has a dishwasher in his home in Chicago.
Yeah, maybe he doesn't. Possible? Maybe just he doesn't take the time
a condo
to wash
in Florida
the dishes
and no dishwasher for.
Well, I think if he's playing baseball games, he's not using the time to let the pan soak. He's not hand washing the dishes. You know, he's not maybe the better silverware. He's just maybe throwing in the dishwasher because time. He's got to rehab the body. You got to go through the training. You got to do all that stuff, and you got to focus on baseball.
You don't think maybe it's cathartic in season to be washing dishes for him?
I don't think he's washing dishes during the season. Rob Manfred cost the Cubs a World Series.
Thanks, Cubs!
More next.
Coming up next.
Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Bring Waddle and Sylvie with you at home or in your office. Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Rob Manfred has cost the Cubs a World Series championship because if baseball had been playing by now, Jose Quintana does not cut his thumb. He's pitching. He wins every pitcher on the Cubs, win the Cy Young, and it's just a team Cy Young. It's a team thing.
Okay.
We're changing it. And the Cubs win their division. They go on to win the World Series. Simple as that.
Do you...
It's my butterfly effect.
Now, I will say this. I handle the dishes after dinner at home every night. Personally, we have a dishwasher, but there are certainly some pans that don't go into the dishwasher that need to be washed.
You're not cutting your hand on a pan, though.
No, this
There's
is
no
true.
No sharp pans.
But what happens is, I don't know about you, but I pre-rinse my whatever goes into the dishwasher because it just gets cleaner that way. I like to rinse down all the silverware.
I give it a rinse.
All the plates.
Yeah. Some water. Give
glasses,
it a little rinse.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. So it is not out of the realm of possibility that even in season, Q could have been washing dishes and suffered the same fate.
I disagree.
It's on the table is all I'm saying.
I've seen butterfly effect with Ashton Kutcher. I disagree.
Now, you don't have kids, so it's just you and Whitney. My wife...
You got to do dishes like 3 times a day, don't you?
It's a chore, let me tell you. Especially now that we're in the quarantine times. My kids are, every meal is at home. You know, I've been adverse to going out to dinner. We've done some carry out, and so that will reduce some of the actual,
It's an exhibition. Goal. How about that?
That's fine.
Take that.
We're still going to have the best season ever, so enjoy that.
Yeah, you think about that.
I'll think about it. Man City up 2-0 on Liverpool.
Damn right they are.
In an absolutely meaningless game because Liverpool has already won the title. Anyway, yeah. Back to
best team ever.
The dishes that I do each night. My wife, my lovely wife, does. She makes dinner every single night, and so she's awesome. But in exchange, I do the dishes because mm-hmm. like I feel like she, not only that, she has to work from home, Abdallah. So
yeah.
she basically has to handle. I try and handle the breakfast for the kids and myself every morning. But let's be honest, outside of cooking some bacon on occasion, like it's basically for the kids, it's like, you know, doing some toast, maybe some cereal, pouring a bowl here or there. Mm-hmm. I'm not really doing a whole lot of heavy lifting.
See, if I don't put my dishes in the dishwasher because there's only two of us, like I'm basically saying this is your job.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So like I have to do it.
Yeah.
She does
and
the same thing.
It's 2020. We're past
absolutely.
The do the dishes
She does
jokes.
The same thing. She puts her dishes in the dishwasher because it would be kind of a blank move if
yeah.
she put that in and it didn't put her dishes in the dishwasher. It's a team effort. There's only two of us here.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not dealing with kids and none of us are dealing with kids.
Oh, and let me tell you, my kids have like two chores.
Mm-hmm.
They have to unload the dishwasher.
Okay.
And then they need to bring their clothes up to their room and put them in their drawers for laundry. And look, we'll make them clean up anything that
they don't have to do their own folding and stuff, right?
No. We fold all the laundry for them. All they literally have to do is take the clothes up, their clothes up to their room and then put them in their drawers, hang them up if they're, you know, but we actually hang them on the hanger. So literally all they have to do is hang them onto the rack there.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it's not a big ordeal, but let me tell you, boy, do they get annoyed when we tell them, hey, it's your turn to do the dishes because we have two. So they alternate each day whose turn it is to do the dishes. And boy, you'd think we're asking them to go out and do some actual hard labor, my friend.
Oh,
they
look,
are spoiled beyond belief.
When you add chores to a child, I remember being a child and having to add, hey, it's you got a vacuum today.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I got to go do some stuff. You got a vacuum.
Yeah.
Like, what do you, I got a vacuum?
I don't even make them take the garbage out yet.
Oh, I had to do all that stuff.
Well, no.
Garbage.
They do, but like we're probably
vacuuming.
We're at the point now, like, look, my kids just turned 10.
I was like Mrs. Doubtfire in that.
My kids just turned 10, so I think we're hitting a stage now where I should probably be like, hey, you should take the garbage out.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also, it's not a difficult job. It's almost easier just to take the garbage out yourself than to actually have to have a fight with a 10-year-old child.
Yeah.
But that's the aspect of my life where I'm at right now.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, the wife takes care of all the cooking, and so I go home each night and do the dishes.
That's
and
nice of you.
Let me tell you, I think it's, you know, I think, like, you know, it's a quid pro quo. You do this, I do that. So we try and have, you know, happy wife, happy life.
And
happy
plus,
life.
You're training the kids to be world class athletes as well, and that should not be
that's
thrown
true.
Under the rug
I don't want that. Well, you know, the son, he's into soccer. The daughter, she is a performing arts. She's big into acting and singing, so
mm-hmm.
she has to take care of those lessons. So yeah, we don't want to burden them with extra chores throughout the house.
Absolutely, completely agree. I'll do the same with my kids. Probably not, but we'll see
when you have them. Whenever
we're working on it. No, not like that. 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 Like not
Is that
like
a
that.
Reveal?
No, I'm just saying that. Look, if you were considering having kids, you know,
yeah,
like we weren't considering. We were considering it. Is that fair?
I don't
we were
know.
Like
sure.
We were
I'm not
thinking
quite
about
sure what
thinking
that means.
About having kids. And then the pandemic happened, and you know, COVID-19,
mm-hmm.
and you know, a lot of people lost their jobs, unfortunately, and you know, people are at home, and we were just like, I'm not gonna do this now.
Reevaluates.
Yeah. We're not gonna do this
in
now
these
because
uncertain times.
In these uncertain times, and we don't know how long the uncertainty is going to be. Right?
Yeah.
You know.
No, that's fair. I think that's but I also think too, you can make the. You can come to the alternate conclusion just mm-hmm. based on the situation as well. And certainly, you know, that wouldn't be for some people. Maybe it's, you know, spurred them on too as well.
Well, like a lot of people predicted that there would be some form of like baby boom when everybody was in lockdown, everybody was quarantining, you got nothing else to do. You're going to do that. And I think everybody just watched everybody just watched Tiger King and was like, I'm not bringing a child into this. Are you serious? I think that's what happened because apparently there won't be. But there might be. You never know. I don't know how to transition to this.
But just coach!
Yeah, there you go.
So anyway, Jose Quintana.
Thumb injury.
Underwent surgery.
Before we found out about this thumb injury, before we found out about this.
Yes.
Jeff Passan was on with Chris Bleck and Jesse Rogers earlier today and talked about They asked him which team basically he thinks is going to be is best served for this shortened season, for this 60-game season. He basically said the healthiest team.
I think it probably, if I'm going to pick between the two of them, favors the Cubs. And I don't think by a lot. I think they're actually going to be pretty similar this year in terms of success. But I also look at the number of young players that the Sox have and the expectations that they have. And I don't always trust the ability of young teams to step up in the moment. I almost feel like they have to, you know, wear it a little bit before they understand what winning looks like. I mean, real winning. Like, being over 500, which is well within the realm of possibility with the Sox, is all well and good. But being a championship-caliber team, I mean, I think we saw this with the Cubs, right? You know, they stepped up. They were good. Then they got great. And I think the White Sox, especially with this very weird season that we've got right now, there's going to be a lot of guys, I worry, who press. And I understand the pressing. It's because every game is worth about three times as much as it typically is. It's because a five-game losing streak is equivalent to like a 14-game losing streak in a regular season. When you look at it that way, baseball is suddenly going to look a lot more like the NFL than it does baseball, where if you lose three games to start the season, your season is more or less done. Like, you can recover from it, but it's going to take an enormous effort to do so. And I think we're going to get that urgency for the first time in baseball, and it's going to be very interesting to see what it does to people on a daily basis, because unlike the NFL, you don't have a week between games to figure things out. You're back out there the next day. And in baseball, if you have lost your swing, if your command is off as a pitcher, that's something that takes time to recover. And whereas in a normal season, you have a month to figure it out. A month is half the season now in baseball. And that is, you know, that really squeezes, puts a vice on some of these players.
And that brings into question what moves will be made. And now with the Cubs, you might need to make a move for a pitcher. The White Sox, if they're in it, do they deviate from their plan and say, hey, we can win something here? How much does this, would a championship mean to the White Sox this year? Do they deviate from their plan? Because they could have signed a number of high-profile guys. They had the money to do so. They didn't. They could have upped their offer. They could have upped their offer to certain guys.
I mean, I think the White Sox splashed around cash this offseason.
They did.
Quite a bit.
If
you, like, add it all up.
Yeah. And I think that, you know, it'll be interesting to see which teams take advantage of which scenarios based on how they're doing. Do the Cubs start to sell off pieces if they come out of the gate slowly?
I think Passan outlined it pretty well there, though, with the health. It's not just the health, but also, you know, which teams can avoid, you know, unfortunately having like too many guys having to miss time due to coronavirus. Like, the, you know, whoever's fortunate in that regard will probably come out in, you know, ahead than most other teams who are just unfortunate based on it. You know who we should talk to? A Cubs fan about this.
We should talk to a Cubs fan, and we'll also talk to a man who's been in a bubble pretty much himself. How will the NBA handle the bubble? We'll talk to Nick Friedell in just 2 minutes.